Robots Radio. Games. Lore.
I did it again.
Stories.
I hit the wrong one.
Community. Just press play.
I should probably change the buttons. Oh well. That's a Pip-Boy. All right, here we go. Let's do it for real.
Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This podcast is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the amazing universe of the Elder Scrolls. Adventurers, welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is your host, Tom. I'm, or robots, you can call me either. I'm here with Lotus. Lotus is feeling better. Lotus got better.
I'm back. I've defeated Periite since the last, man, it's been several shows. Thanks for everybody who sent me nice messages and stuff like that. I was just in not so great shape for a while with a deluge of individual things that just kind of all stacked together and kind of laid me out pretty hard, but I'm doing much better. So, I was happy to record Tales last week, but we had to keep it short because I could only speak for like an hour before I got kind of winded.
Oh, no.
But I'm doing even better than that now. So, we're good to go. And now I'm super excited because we've got new Elder Scrolls Online stuff.
Yeah. Oh, we've got all sorts of fun stuff to talk about today. And I'm glad that you're feeling better just in time to talk about all the new reveals we have for the new season of ESO. And even if you're not an ESO player, you might want to stick around for this one because there's some big reveals about some big lore stuff. And they're hinting at certain things, but there are definitely some things to talk about.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to get through this. So what we're going to do is we are going to pull up some of the clips from today's reveal, and then Lotus and I are going to comment on them and share our views and some of more of our speculation and any of that
stuff. So the only thing that's going to be a little interesting too, because we usually do our best to stay away from spoilers. We do the same thing on Tales unless we specifically have a spoiler episode. Unless you plan on just literally not looking at commercials.
Right.
They just dropped the ending of the last chapter without context. So still worth playing, as you and I were talking about, playing Necrom to kind of get context to all of the stuff. Mm-hmm. But they really kind of just put
it out there.
Twist,
yeah,
right at the
big
forefront.
The big reveal at the end of Necrom, they are just this is a thing, we're doubling down on it, here you go,
we need to all talk about this. Right. So if you're trying to stay totally spoiler free and are avoiding advertising now, I guess at this point with the new chapter, just be aware we're gonna need to talk about a lot of that stuff. And it's worth playing the end of Necrom because it gives you context to this stuff, but at the same time, it's the twist is out there now. It's not as much of a shock to me. When I first played it, I was like, I'm sorry, what just happened?
Right.
It's more common knowledge now as part of it. So,
yeah. All right. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna play the little trailer bit that they played. There's not a whole lot of dialogue in it, so I'm going to explain for our audio audience what's happening on the screen. I recommend, if you want, go check out this video on YouTube. There's an Elder Scrolls Lorecast YouTube channel, or you can check up the trailers and things, and so you know what we're talking about as we talk through this. Yep. And Lotus, if there's anything that you're just like, whoa, pause.
Sure.
Let me know.
I will.
And here we go. I'm putting it up on the screen right now, and everybody should be able to hear this. So it starts off, I've got it paused right at the opening screen. You have a hooded figure in what appears to be some sort of temple, summoning some sort of magic or something from the ground or the world around them. And then there's these other things that are crystallizing around them.
So one thing to just jump into a lot with this, crystalling, like the crystal thing is a theme you're going to see a lot going forward. Crystals and mirrors, which we kind of got a little taste of with the Infinite Archive that launched in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. The bosses in there and stuff like that, we got a lot of hints at the crystal stuff. So I think this is going to, now that we're seeing more of it and tied into all of this, I think that's going to be a theme for a bit now.
Right, right. So that initial scene that you kind of heard in the background as Lotus was talking, you have a figure in the middle of the room doing some sort of summoning thing or something. And then you have another figure reaching into what appears to be a liquid of some sort. I'm backing up to it. This video is very long, so it's hard to be very specific with where I go on the video. But here, I'll play it one more time. Oh, no, we're back in the screen. I'm not going to fight with this. Look up the video. But there's some other figure who's involved here. And then the screen scene I paused on right now is our heroes, our hero characters.
Yes.
These are the hero characters.
Now, instead of her constantly beating each other up in every video.
Right. Right. You got the Nord.
The war between the three pseudo heroes kind of, it's become very one Tamriel with the cinematics, which is interesting.
It's pretty cool. I like the cooperation of them. They're all cool looking characters. The Nord,
right,
the Breton, the Altmer.
Exactly. And it's like the reason the Breton's a necromancer is because the Nord impaled him in one of the original like videos.
He died. He came back. He's looking a little bit long.
Yeah,
in the tooth.
I think he was originally stabbed through the chest in the like Imperial City DLC trailer. So it's like,
yeah, yeah, they've got kind of a storied history, but they are all on the trail of something. And here, I'm going to hit play again. Check this out. They're standing at the top of what appears to be an old monument or maybe an alien structure, looking out on what appears to be a view. We know now that this is kind of the boundaries of like Cyrodiil and Valenwood.
Big into the West Weald, which is cool.
Yeah, and so
it's a mix of what we've seen in other games and also not.
Right. And so they pull out what appears to be a staff. And the things I noticed about the staff, particularly, you have that colored light coming out of the top of it, which might be the same color as what we were seeing in the first scene. But also at the very top of the staff, there's that what's the design called? It's like two little horns that come up that look similar to the teaser thing they put out that I talked about last
week. Yeah. So I was going to say, I guess for anybody, I've still got mine. For anybody that's on the video, does that actually show?
Yeah, it sort of does. You can see Lotus's.
Yeah, over in the corner. It's almost like part of a like a harp. I think it's called a lyre.
Yeah,
is
it's
that
like
what
a
people
lyre
are calling
shape. Something like that.
Right. Yeah. That was very prominent on the little glass fragments we got sent.
Right. So that's part of this staff. Here, let's go back to the story. And the three of them are looking at it. And then they're looking out into the distance into what looks like an alien ruin with the same kind of glow.
Yes.
And then we have them now crawling down the side of a mountain, making their way toward that ruin. And a big hulking Daedra shows up above them. And he makes some dark, breathy sounds. And as they walk through here, the Nord hurls a big thing out of the way. So they keep going. And then all of a sudden the Daedra attacks them and grabs the staff, knocks the Nord off. They have a fight.
Yes. This Dromora is actually super impactful to the Necrom storyline. His name's Torvisad, for what it's worth. But he's a pretty big name player and also oddly unlike a lot of the Dromora you encounter. Mm-hmm. In the series, he's much less hostile, which you wouldn't get from this video because he has,
well,
like,
he could have just offed them here. He has the Nord hanging off the side. The Breton is grabbing him to pull him back up. The Altmer is tossing spells at him. And then he keeps on decorporealizing into like a red mist to dodge them while still pulling the staff. At any point, he probably could have knocked at least two of them off the ledge and then maybe killed the other. But he doesn't. He takes the staff and he flees.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that if you play through Necrom, you'll notice is it's more of when people get injured around him, it's more like tangentially there, or it's not so much intentional. It just kind of happens. It's never so much like, oh, I'm a, you know, Daedra tend to not really care about mortal life very much.
Right. I might as well kill you. You're in my way.
He really is just like very much like, well, I'm going to do this thing. No, just don't, literally don't get in my way and we'll be fine. No big deal. No, you're hurt. Well, all right, here's a Band-Aid, but like, get out of my way, please. Like, right. Which is right. Weird and very unlike a lot of Dromora.
Right, right. So, okay, so he steals the staff. He heads away. They look all worried. They're like, okay, where did he go? Oh, he's going to the ruins that they were headed towards. He appears in like this, almost like he teleported there. And then we get a zoom into the ruins, and we have, again, a scene of this hooded figure who is now glowing on the forehead and the chest and the arms, forming some sort of crystalline wings. The Dromora brings up the staff, sticks it into the goo that he put his hands in earlier. It starts glowing. He screams up at the sky. The heroes run in. The woman who was in the... let's pause here. The woman, we find out that the person in the hood seems to be a female character who is now rising up with these crystalline reflective materials, and all of this power is now coming around her, almost like the staff helped finish off whatever enchantment she was doing, right? And she rises up into the air. Any other thoughts on this one, Lotus, so far?
Well, so knowing that she exists from Necrom is interesting, but we didn't see her as a result from Necrom, because
now, if you're at this point in the thing, you wouldn't know necessarily that this is a Daedric prince.
Correct.
It may just be a very powerful mage or something like that.
Yes, but essentially this is, it's Athelia, is that, because they just straight up name her, like, right. And we, if you play through the story, you'll get that, but they didn't sugarcoat it. This is Athelia, which is the, it's essentially a missing Daedric prince. Like, we have not realized there's another Daedric prince that was there, not so much there anymore. Kind of a jiggalag situation, but not formed into something else, just straight up missing in action.
Straight missing, which leaves all sorts of speculation about, like, how is a Daedric prince missing? Aren't they fundamental in some ways to the nature of the world? Like, what else is going on here? It also makes you wonder, like, I've got some, we'll hold off on the theories.
We'll get into that later.
We'll get through the video first.
When we're going to need to get a little, like, real kind of spoily for a few things that we got to discuss, but yeah, so
let's continue the video and then we'll get to that
stuff.
Yeah. All right, here we go. So she's rising up, the heroes run in, the Dromora turns around, she notices them, and then all of a sudden explodes.
Yep.
Like, leaves him there. He's looking around. He's got like a portal behind him. The heroes get back up, and then he prepares and runs through the portal. Disappears. So did she create the portal and leave? Is that what happened here? They look around like they're looking for anything that's left. They notice a funny looking sigil on the ground and they seem very confused. End scene. So it's cool. I mean, we've talked about the cinematics multiple times over the years. I love what they do with the cinematics. I would love to watch a movie
so
of this
good.
Stuff. It's so good. So that's what we get. And we come to find out, like Lotus mentioned, that this is a Daedric prince, somebody we've never heard of before, absolutely brand new to Elder Scrolls. And we're going to have a lot of things to learn about her because we don't know a whole lot at all. Like, what's her dominion? What is she like? What's her realm like? Any of that stuff.
Yeah, and it's interesting because that's such a long-standing thing that we haven't really had a new Daedric print. Like, this is a big overhaul to the series lore. Which is interesting because, again, you're going to have some interesting repercussions as a side effect of it, because it's like, she's a little more normal looking, which Daedric princes take all sorts of bizarre forms, kind of how they want to be viewed. Hermaeus Mora obviously doesn't care, so he's just this blobby just nightmare world.
Right.
But then you have, you know, Meridia is more normal.
Meridia looks kind of like a mortal. Yeah.
Right. And nocturnal, that everybody's simping over.
Right. It looks very mortal, like Dark Elf.
And this is one of the less weird Daedric princes. Outside of just like, oh yeah, no, they have like a logical form, I guess you'd call it, type of thing. But at the same time, when you look at images of her, it's kind of like a weird mix between like the crystalline things coming off her, and she's got a lot of, they're not really tattoos, but like,
yeah, like glowy marks on her body.
Right.
Maybe that's the best way to say it.
Which is pretty weird looking.
Yeah, I'm trying to get to a scene of her in the thing because it's so long. I want to get back to that picture. But oh, here we go. I'll put this up on the screen. Yeah, you can see like the glowing marks. They all look like almost like Daedric script, but not exactly.
Not quite.
Not quite Daedric script is what they look like.
And it makes me wonder if that symbol that you mentioned that was left behind, is that her very elaborate?
Like her symbol.
Symbol, like Hermaeus Mora's got the like little eye or...
The center of it is her symbol, and there's decorations around it.
Exactly. And there's fancy stuff around it. Same thing with, like, you know, each of the princes kind of have their banner.
Right.
Is her banner kind of more just like a crystalline structure type of thing?
Yeah, that's a good question. All right. So here we've got a few minutes before we need to take a break and thank our patrons. Then we're going to talk about some of the other details about like the locations and stuff like that. But real quick, I'm sure the community is probably a little bit split. I'm sure there's going to be some people who are like, cool, new Daedric prince, awesome, more lore to learn about, which is kind of how I feel. But I'm sure there's people out there who are like, wait a minute, there's only this many Daedric princes and you're not allowed to add more stuff to that. You know, like,
I'm sure trust me, that's already been like a good mix all over the place.
All over the place.
From,
you're going to hear
from what I've seen.
Things. And my perspective is, if you never add anything new to a series, what are you doing? Like,
well, that's kind of the point of
have to evolve.
World building. Right. And the other thing is, and because like, again, without getting too deep into every single little quest line type of thing, if you actually play through Necrom, it seems like there's a good reason why this has just not been a thing. Like, it's later on down the timeline. One of the things is somebody that I saw was just like, oh, well, why, you know, well, how would nobody ever know about this? And I was like, you didn't play Necrom. And they're like, no, I don't really play Elder Scrolls Online. I was like, it shows. Like,
no, you don't know. Right.
It objectively explains that in Necrom. So that's why I know you didn't play Necrom. Like, it's part of the story why she's missing, like, and why nobody's heard of her. That's part of the thing. So, like,
why don't we bridge that gap? What's the reason that's given in that story?
So the problem is, what Athelia does is Athelia can change fate. That is that's her Daedric power.
And that's part of why Hermaeus Mora was interested in her.
Yes, because Hermaeus Mora can read the tides of fate.
Right.
He can't change fate. So this is like a direct problem kind of to Hermaeus Mora. So because of an event that happens, which you start to unravel, and that's where you find out about Athelia, Hermaeus Mora decides, nope, way too powerful, big problem here. We need to delete this one. And some of the other Daedric princes are kind of like, well, I don't know about doing all of that. And he's like, incorrect. This is for the betterment of everybody.
Right. And which makes sense in the lore, because there's definitely history of Daedric princes saying, we need to do this because this is not to our benefit. Like, Jigalag is a great example of that, right?
And it's funny enough, Hermaeus Mora seems to have spearheaded that one as well. Hermaeus Mora seems like the Daedric Prince killer, actually, which is kind of interesting. He doesn't seem to like competition very much.
Or at least he understands fate well enough to know that those princes are a particular danger to whatever his plans are.
So as an effect of that, Hermaeus Mora, they banish her, Athelia. And to prevent anyone from being able to figure out where she went with Shea-Gorath, they made Shea-Gorath out of Jigalag because he went crazy. Like, that was his kind of like side effect punishment.
Right.
With Athelia, he was like, we just need to pretend this thing doesn't exist. And what he does is he takes the literal memory of her from the world and splits it into these pieces. They're called glyphics in the game. They're these little like lock tome things, and he scatters them throughout Apocrypha. That's basically his idea. So he's removed the memory of her from the world with her basically being dethroned, so that nobody can try to bring her back.
Right, because if you don't remember that she exists and that memory is broken apart and split, then nobody's going to even know to put it back together.
For whatever reason, Torvisad, the Dromora, has a dream in which he sort of knows something, but can't figure out what it is. And throughout Necrom, you're chasing him, chasing what he thinks is this dream with the help of a couple other Daedric princes that don't really know exactly what's going on, but a chance to overthrow another Daedric prince that kind of involved with it. So what happens is you get this interesting timeline of everybody chasing something. It's like, then they always refer to it as like, I can't quite remember it. It's like trying to remember a dream. You get little bits of it, but you can't really piece it together. And as you find these glyphics, because you track down two of them, the memory cracks free. Some of it, you get the event. The other one, because you don't actually find all the glyphics at the end of Necrom, the second glyphic, it cracks open. And Hermaeus Mor is like, oh, you shouldn't have seen that. That's not good. Like, so yeah, there might have been a Daedric prince, and she might not be around anymore. So the idea was to keep her pinned away forever, but Torvisad kind of tracked it down, and it looks like with the cinematic, whatever that third piece is, was enough that he, I guess, finds her or something like that.
Yeah, it seems like, I mean, there must have been things happening in between these two events, right?
Right.
Yeah, maybe there was enough to bring her back into the world or something. And maybe this was her imprisonment location.
Sure.
Maybe the Aeliads had something to do with imprisoning her to begin with.
Right, because we also don't really know when this takes place, because all the beings involved are sort of timeless.
Right.
So you don't have a good gauge on, like, well, you know, if it's an Altmer, okay, at most it's a couple hundred years old. It's like, well, Dremora is just reincarnate eventually once they get murdered. If they do, they're basically immortal.
Well, the fact that this temple looks like Aeliad ruins.
Right.
Makes me think that we're looking at something that happened like in the Merithic era or in the first era.
Exactly.
So this is a very old location, and maybe she was imprisoned here somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And so now she's not.
Yeah, that's just it. So like the idea of her not being remembered is part of the story. So I'm curious to see how that goes now that at least for one point, she seems like she's sort of back in the consciousness because she's there again. So
I would imagine that after being imprisoned and ganged up on by the other Daedric princes, she's probably pretty pissed.
Yeah, I can't imagine she's going to be very happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Gets in chat says they mentioned Aeliads. Yeah, they mentioned Aeliads.
Yeah.
They mentioned the specific location, which we'll get into after the break, because we'll go into that stuff. But yeah, that Aeliads were absolutely mentioned in this. And so it kind of sets things up in a way where it makes sense. Now, I would imagine that this all results in, at some point in the storyline, whether it's through the events of the storyline this year or the next few years, you eventually overcome her, re-imprison her, everyone forgets about her again, and that's why nobody knows about her during the times of, like, Morrowind, Oblivion, and Skyrim, right?
Right. Like, same way that they filled in a lot during the Season of the Dragon with Elsewhere. Well, everybody's like, well, dragons didn't exist and all this stuff during that, and it's like, well, no, dragons were in hiding, and if you look at it, it looks like there's a huge chunk missing from, like, there's really not a lot of information from Elsewhere during that. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, just because you don't know of something doesn't mean it didn't occur.
Right.
It just means that information isn't available.
The basis of the whole game, without like trying to explain everything, is this takes place during the Interregnum, where the libraries were burned and all this information was lost. We're basically dealing with a giant void of lore outside little snippets. And it's kind of neat to see them filling in, like, oh, well, yeah, here's part of it. Here's this. The only thing I ever find a little weird is that the unregulated time zone or timeline thing, man, we're busy in this one year.
This is a really busy year. Yeah, I've thought about that, too. How it's just like, this is hysterical. The longest year ever. The
longest 10 years year ever.
Oh, my God. All of these things happen all in one year.
Right. So that's pretty funny. But
yeah, that's a little weird. But whatever. Okay.
But well, yeah, so that's kind of like the Cliff Notes version of
that was great
and stuff.
That was great. Very well done. All right, we need to go take a break and thank our patrons. We'll be back with some more details about the location and some of the other races or characters, all the other stuff that we've learned about. So don't go anywhere.
It's that time. Holiday shopping is here, and I've got something to help you out.
Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No, this is a place that has high-quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one-of-a-kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons, and it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, we're back, and it's time to thank our patrons, including our newest patrons. Let's see, White Paw. I don't remember if I shouted you out last time. Joshua, Octavio. Oh, sorry.
It didn't sound familiar.
Okay. Octavio O, Hannah L, Anon 7, and Danbaka Solo. That's a great name. I love when we get some really good names in these. Welcome to the Patreon. Thank you for signing up. I hope you are enjoying your ad-free episodes or your stickers, which you'll eventually get if you stick around for 3 months, or your shirts, which also you get after sticking around for 3 months, you start getting your first shirt. Or if you are one of our patrons who is at the tier 4 or higher levels, you can join us on our patron chats, which are coming up because, well, the end of the month is coming up and the 25th is the last Thursday of the month, which means it's only a week away. So you still have time to sign up if you're listening to this right now and you want to join us. So that's what's going on with that. Also, our Daedric Princes get shouted out every week because if you don't, they want to destroy the world. And then that's terrible. Fair. So, I mean, it's a fair thing, right? Yep. Belli, Paratus, Kiracy, and Sheogorth Sweet Roll, thank you for supporting us. And thank you to all 116 of our current patrons for being here and keeping the show going. And I'm going to be doing some updates to like the logo and hopefully like the intros and things like that over the next few weeks, because we're coming up on entering our sixth year. We've now completed 5 full years going into the sixth. That is crazy.
That is pretty wild.
That's pretty wild. So thank you for keeping this going.
I've been here for 4 of them, which is also weird.
Thank you for being here with me. This has been a lot of fun.
I'm glad you invited me ways back. I was going to say, I remember still, well, I don't know, one of the first times we talked was I was a listener and you did your first giveaway and I won a shirt from the show.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that.
And then
that.
You invited me on to talk about Hermaeus Mora and Arena. And from there, we decided, hey, we'll just...
I've been listening to your podcast. Maybe we should talk about this thing that we both like.
We listen to each other's things anyways. We might as well just cooperate.
Yep. Awesome. Also, if you want to help us out in other ways, leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, a 5-star review, will get you read out on a future episode of the show. We don't have any new ones this week, but actually, you know what? I think we do. This one, I don't think I read out last time. The dates on these get a little funny.
Yeah. We also have like 10 bazillion like 5-stars I've noticed on the Spotify thing.
Yes.
There's no words related to it. But thank you for everybody who does that, too. I've noticed like the star count on everything has gone up a ton because it's just at the top when I open it. So huge thanks for everybody who clicks all the little stars.
Yeah. And a lot of people have commented on episodes about, oh, I love this episode and that kind of stuff. I try to review those every week or two and kind of make sure they get published and stuff. So that's a thing, too, you can do if you want. But this one comes from A Loose Dead Moose. It's another great name in the United States, who writes, this is a long one. Thank you. Thank you. I've really been enjoying listening to the podcast. It's definitely time to review. A few months ago, I broke my hand. Oh, I'm so sorry. And had to work overnight at my warehouse for almost 2 months to heal. My music playlists were getting dull. Shifts were longer and longer, and I was getting bored. For the first time, as I still really don't listen to podcasts, I randomly decided to look up a podcast about Elder Scrolls lore, specifically because I had just purchased the anniversary Skyrim upgrade. Awesome. Man, was I pulled in. I really enjoy the casual yet very well put together podcast. All the guests and sense of community. I've played a good number of the games, and I started reading the two novels by Greg Keyes while I was also listening to the show. It helped me enjoy Elder Scrolls content in a new way, and I'm still only halfway through the episodes. Keep up the good work, and I hope you get to continue doing what you love. Well, thank you so much, Loose Dead Moose. And we mention the novels all the time. I'm glad you got a chance to read those or listen to them. Yeah.
Special shout out. Loose Dead Moose is on the PlayStation Guild with us now.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So join the Discord if you want to join guilds and things. There's channels in there for all that stuff. And plus, you can also comment on what you think about this new Daedric Prince and all that. So lots of fun ways to engage with us in the community. Thank you for all of your support. All right. Let's move on with the rest of the show.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
Ghost Toadlet in chat says, best podcast ever.
Aw.
Thanks. All right. Let's see. We've got some other videos. Let's pull this one up. This one I don't have to narrate for you because there's actually talking in it about some of the stuff that, and we'll pause this on occasion and kind of chime in with some thoughts.
Last year, we saw players explore the Talvani Peninsula and Apocrypha Zones and delved into a story surrounding the Prince of Knowledge, Himaeus Mora, and master the magics of the Arcanist class. This year, we're inviting players to venture into a Kolovian region known as the West Weald. And this region spans the western borders of Cyrodiil to the north and the eastern tip of Valenwood. And many Elder Scrolls players will probably recognize this location from Test 4 Oblivion.
So, okay. So I have to pat myself on the back for the things I did get right.
Mm-hmm.
It's that look. It's Skingrad. And the location around it, which is called the West Weald. I didn't name the West Weald, but this is the location, which totally makes sense because it fills in on the map.
Yeah, the Kolovian area. There's a ton of different names for that whole region type of thing. But yeah, I was going to say, when we were looking at Skingrad, correct.
yeah. I even looked at the maps before I did that episode of like, okay, is Skingrad closer to the part of Cyrodiil? Because we did that whole episode about like why the Cyrodiil map is different in ESO.
Yeah.
And like Skingrad isn't in that part of the Cyrodiil map, even though it's in Cyrodiil. And if you play Oblivion, it feels like it's closer to the middle, but it's actually on this map kind of in that in between zone.
It's filling in right above like Reaper's March of Malibator.
Right.
You're squishing up that way.
Right. So, okay. So we got that location. I also predicted some things having to do with the Cyrodiilians, but then also the Bosmer. Yep. And so let's see.
Which I was very much in agreement with, because I actually did listen to that episode. Well, I've listened to all the episodes since I've been missing in action, but during our speculation thing, I actually totally agreed. I actually think I might have brought that up, that I kind of referenced a few things. Yep, I was totally on board. The Bosmer thing made sense, especially with like all the tree stuff on that little like teaser thing.
Yeah.
The leaves, like the autumn leaves that were packed oddly in around it, stuff like that.
Right. And they explain that this is what that zone kind of looks like, the autumn colors of the leaves and those kinds of things. Now, the one thing, my craziest thing I put out there was that the walking trees,
Falanesti
was going to be on top of Skingrad. It was going to be like summoned in on top of it because I thought that would be amazing and ridiculous. Obviously, that was too far.
But so I definitely agreed to an extent with the Falanesti thing, though. I was really convinced it was Falanesti as well, especially with the Falanesti autumn site being right in that area as well. It's like in the part of Reaper's March. So it's like, oh, man, I really thought that was going to be part of it.
Now, I'm going to call this a half win, because as we watch through this, you'll see that although it's not Falanesti, there is some weird forest growth happening.
Yeah.
And they haven't revealed why. It's a mystery. They say it's a mystery.
Exactly.
We'll play that part. So maybe that's actually still Falanesti. And so I was
something close.
Just slightly off on the location. Maybe.
Right. Well, because Falanesti, you know, there's a reason it's been missing and we still don't know what it is. So
maybe it got forgotten too.
Right. And this weird overgrowth thing, it's like, okay, does this lead into some of the explanation for why it's essentially missing?
Right. All right. So let's play some more of the video so you guys can catch up on some of the stuff we're referring to if you haven't seen this yet.
In our time, a dense jungle has suddenly appeared overnight along the Valenwen border, and the whole region is suffering from a rise in attacks from a mysterious new kind of Daedra.
So the new zone will be familiar for those of you who played Oblivion, but there's something big going on behind the scenes that's causing all this chaos.
We're doing something we've never done before in ESO, and we're introducing a whole new Daedric Prince.
That is a really big deal.
It is, and we are really excited about it. The Gold Road storyline focuses on the return of a forgotten prince named Athelia, and it was great to be able to work with BGS to bring our vision for this new power to life, and we think folks are going to love what we've created.
Okay, so a few things here. First of all, there is a connection between this Daedric Prince returning, the weird Daedra that they haven't seen before, and the growth on the border with Valenwood.
Right.
All of this stuff coincides.
Yeah.
So maybe that has a Fallen Esti connection in the past with the forgetting of this prince and these maybe these other Daedra, which only come from their plane of Oblivion or something like that. But also, I want to point out that to kind of, I don't know, frame this in a way which might be more palatable to everyone else, he does mention specifically working with Bethesda Game Studios, BGS,
right,
on the development of this print. So which means that this has Todd Howard's sign off. This has been like, yes, absolutely, you can do this. This is good for our understanding of the lore. Maybe some of this plays into the next Elder Scrolls game. Who knows?
That's what Ark has been convinced of. He's like, is this going to give us a weird nod? Are they laying the groundwork for something in Elder Scrolls 6?
Yeah, and they might be, but whether that happens or not, we know that they have official approval. This isn't them right, going off the rails and saying, well, we want to do this crazy thing. This is a like, yeah, no, this is cool. They've checked not only with their lore master, but the experts at Bethesda Game Studios and have said, okay, yeah, this is good. We're going to go in this direction,
right,
which feels like a commitment for the whole entire series in some way.
Yeah.
So cool. All right, let's move on with the video.
In last year's Necrom chapter, we dropped a major cliffhanger. Mysterious forces discovered the existence of this forgotten Daedric Prince, Athelia. In Gold Road, you'll discover that prince is now free with dire consequences for all of Tamriel. I don't want to...
Dire consequences for all of Tamriel. This is the best season of The Bachelor yet.
Yeah, one thing I will say, which I super do love this story, and like I do like these, like I really enjoyed like what we got last year and how it kind of is expanding out past just a 1 year story thing. But it is funny because that is one of the things we had, like a much more small scale conflict with High Isle, and like right back to world doom ending events,
yeah,
with like Necrom and into Gold Road.
Yeah, but it's fun. Like, it's fun.
Yeah, no,
I totally.
I mean, yeah, having a mystery Daedric Prince arrive out of nowhere is kind of hard to not have that be like kind of world ending doom.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's fun. It's, yeah. And I make the joke about like The Bachelor, like those types of shows every season, the most dramatic season of this show you've ever seen. Like every season, this kind of feels like that because, of course, this is marketing, right? They have to say like,
right,
this is the coolest thing we've ever done in Elder Scrolls Online. And it might be, like, it might actually be, but it's subjective. It's like saying we serve the best pizza in the city. It's like, well, according to who, right? Like, this one guy that likes to come in all the time?
Right, yeah, the world famous pizza.
Right, or like, okay, the guy on Bob's Burgers who just comes and eats at the burger place every day. What's his name? I don't know if you watch Bob's Burgers, but they have the one guy that's always there like every day. It's like his favorite restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's keep going with this. Here we go.
Go into too much detail yet because we'll be diving deeper into the story shortly, but this is really big. And we are very excited to see how our community reacts as they learn more about Athelia and her allies.
All right, so we have a new zone and a story about the return of a long-lost Daedric Prince, but there's something else arriving with the Gold Road chapter that Matt touched on that our players have been asking about for a long time, and that's scribing.
Yes.
All right, so I'm going to pause it there because we can explain the rest of this. And of course, they go into the other stuff. They go into like, oh, we're getting this many dungeons and this many whatever. And this is what you're going to be able to do in the new zone. It's all very, you know, by the numbers at this point.
Sure.
But this is the other big detail here. Scribing which is effectively a combination of spell shaping and skill shaping.
Everybody obviously was just saying it's spell crafting. Like,
it's basically spell crafting. They're just not using that term. But it also works for skills that don't have magic involved.
Right. And I'm allowed to say now that I actually got to see this presentation with some people with Zoss on Tuesday. So during that with the stream team, everybody was just like, oh, so it's spellcrafting. Like, no, it's not spellcrafting. Like,
don't call it that.
Like, we get it. It's very similar to spellcrafting. We understand. But it's like the reason they're trying to say that it's like, it's the precursor to spellcrafting. Like, it's not exactly spellcrafting because it, again, it encompasses more than just spells and stuff like that. But it's the idea behind spellcrafting with the ESO twist. And personally, I did not. That one kind of caught me off guard. And actually, we've gotten several responses from... We've... In many previous prediction episodes on Tales of Tamriel, we were like, it's going to be spellcrafting. It's going to be spellcrafting. Right. This year, other people like Skinny Cheeks and Nephis were like, oh my God, I think we're finally getting spellcrafting and Hack the Minotaur and stuff like that. And Ark's like, so do you think we're getting spellcrafting? I was like, nah, man, we haven't gotten it yet. There's no chance we're getting spellcrafting. And Ark just goes, yep, I don't think so either. And we moved right past
Man.
And the first year we just blow the idea off, that's when it's actually like a form of spellcrafting.
Which makes sense. It's the 10th year. They want to do something big and they want to give the, you know,
it sounds
people something
really
they've
cool.
been asking for. Also, how do you feel about it, Rich? Okay. This is the for anyone listening. You need to pull up the video because I paused Rich making the most ridiculous face. He seems like, okay, cool. Yeah, I'm cool with it. Cool, man.
Yeah, it looks like that actually looks very similar to his response to me being like, so it's spellcrafting.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, kind of.
But
this is spellcrafting, Rich. Okay.
So, and I do like the term scribing. I actually think that's kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. If it's kind of the other terminology they've been using for other things.
It's like a learning thing. Like, you're taking notes, you're forming this stuff. Like, okay, I like that.
Right.
Whereas I've made my disdain for Infinite Archive from Endless Archive well known because I think that's a weird name.
Uh-huh. Right. Okay. So
like
let's
infinite.
Let's,
so like,
let's
yeah,
get into
I
the detail.
Name
what,
for what we've got.
Right. What is this though? What is scribing? It's
so
fundamentally, it's like you take a skill and then you get other ways of adjusting and customizing the skill, right?
Right. So if you play the old games, it's kind of like, so you've got this skill, which is your grimoire, and then you get all these little attachments, essentially, which is sort of like if you think of...
It's almost like attachments on a gun in
It's almost
Fallout,
like attachments on
right?
a gun.
Like this or, one raises your DPS, you shoot faster. This one adds
this
an
one
effect
gives it
to
vampire,
the bullets. Or like,
and this one gives it frost, but this one makes it an AoE or whatever.
Right.
So you plug in whichever components you want onto this thing, and it will, I assume, modify its costs and channel time if it takes a while to cast because it's a mess, or is it like, do you have to find a target for it, or does it just work in an area? So you basically are Lego piecing all of these parts of skills together to make a tool set that you want to now use, which is kind of wild to think about.
The balance on this must be insane because there's already seven classes with all of their skills, plus all the other skill lines, plus all of the weapons and armor that you can get, which just grows year after year after year.
Yeah.
And now on top of that, you'll be able to, I think there's like a primary, there's like a secondary, and there's like a tertiary.
Right.
And you choose all the different settings, and there's all the variabilities between any of those settings for any skill. The number of permutations of different builds is insane at this point.
Yeah, it really is. One of the big things that they were saying is like worked very hard for balance. To not just have it completely off the rails, which I make no bones about. Let me just be overpowered. I don't care. Like whatever.
Also,
let me do whatever I want.
Also,
that's
with
fine.
That many permutations, how do you even. Like, holy crap.
Stuff is going to get by, even with testing. Like, that's just one of those things where it's like, when bugs get through in Bethesda games, it's like, oh, why did this crash? It's like, well, because I didn't have a watermelon on this castle wall in the other 50 trillion gameplay.
Yeah. Dave and I on the StarCraft Lorecast episode that we did today went over the new patch notes for Starfield because it's been months. It's been months. And some of the patches are like, you know, they fixed the weird glitches with the shadows and this kind of scene.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And then some of them are things that are just so specific. Like,
very specific.
If you connect this module onto ship to this other module and then disconnect it and then reconnect it while a ship lands at the facility that you're currently at, then this glitch occurs. And it's like,
yeah, then it deletes the service attendant. Like,
right. And it's like
what?
There's no way the testing team would have found that because it's so specific and so peculiar. But once you have millions of people play the game over the last six months, that stuff starts to show up because somebody's going to do that.
Right. But so, yeah, this just adds so much. I feel like one of the big things, this adds a very, very, very strong single player Elder Scrolls feel. Where it's just very much you get to design your character to do all this weird stuff.
I like that. I like that because
I think that's very cool. I hope they allow it to be adequately powerful as well and not have it. Well, we don't want it to be overpowered, so it's too toned down, because I love the idea of all of this. It sounds awesome. And as this little side thing to it, it's got cosmetic stuff that you can do with it, which people were losing their mind over.
Right. You can change the way the effects look and the colors, or the like, I'm going to drop a cloud of toxic smoke instead of this, you know, crazy looking dangerous magic.
Yeah. It's not embers anymore. Now it's poison gas or whatever,
which is super cool, because I had a poison build archer for a while and I was using a bunch of skills that all procced venom and poison and those kinds of things.
Sure.
And even my outfit, like I specifically was using the outfit where you have got little poison vials on your waist and like
going for
the build, right?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Hazardous alchemy.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is cool. And that's part of the fun. Like you're somebody who goes and plays all the end game content. So you do builds and stuff for that. But as somebody who more likely plays the story content and prefers kind of the open world stuff and is much more casual about my playing, I still enjoy the customizing of my characters, the building of alts and customizing
them.
You want
to feel like the character you're building.
Right. And one of my dilemmas is my main character, over the years, have changed the build. I was like, well, what if I turn them into a vampire? What if I go with this build? What if I get a bunch of money and I get this new gear and go with this build? And I've tried changing a few times, but pretty much for the last, I want to say 2 to 2.5 years, I've just used the same abilities. I've just used the same gear.
Because they're just strong and they work.
Because it's strong and it works. And on the few occasions that I decide to do something, you know, a little bit more dangerous with a group or whatever, I'm still pulling good enough numbers. And this works for me. It works really well for just getting around the overworld and just decimating everybody in that stuff. So I don't need to change it. But there isn't a whole lot of customizing other than, well, maybe I don't want to use a bow anymore. Maybe I want to use spells. Or maybe, like, you can go that route. But with this, all of that is a very long way to say, with scribing, you can change out the little pieces in the way that those skills and abilities work while still keeping the main focus of your character. I don't have to get new armor or new weapons in order to do something different. I don't have to change the character at a very fundamental level and I'll start using a bunch of vampire skills or something like that. I can just customize the skills that I like and then play with them. And be like, well, maybe I do more of this, or maybe I do more of that.
One thing that I think is really cool, from my perspective of just, I like to explore the world and stuff, tracking down all this stuff is going to be super fun. Like, I'm a big fan of that because you can explore and collect this stuff. And even though I'm not the biggest cosmetic person, it's whatever. I'm glad people like it and stuff like that. One big selling point was the fact that all of these things are supposed to have ways that you can get them in game.
Yeah.
Like you go and explore the world and that's how you collect this stuff.
And that's part of the fun of an MMO is being able to go in the world and find all the things.
And collect stuff. So it's like, that's just it. It's like between collecting your grimoires and then all your modifications to it, through runes and tablets and all this stuff. And then it's like, oh, well, now I want it to look purple. So now I'm going to go exploring out and see if I can track that down. It's like, that gives you so much exploration around the world to track all these things down, which I think is really, really cool.
Yes. So that all plays into it. And one of the last things I wanted to cover as we're getting close to the end of the episode is, how does this fit into the lore? Do you feel like this whole thing, like customizing your abilities, customizing your magic, makes sense from a lore perspective?
So I do, because honestly, it's felt more weird that it isn't in the game to me than that it's being added. I actually really thought that they would have a much more mage focus when... It, more so if we ever got something like this,
because we were calling it magic
spellcrafting,
like,
as
like specifically spellcrafting,
right, which is not really what it ended up being, because that's where I was like, oh well, when we get the College of Winterhold, we'll probably get spellcrafting.
Yeah.
Or last year with the Telvanni Peninsula, it's like, oh okay, well, you know, Telvanni mages, they're always learning stuff. So it's like having this get added, I'm curious kind of how we're going to be introduced to the system in game. But having the system in game makes total sense to me. It's actually been weird that it hasn't been part of the game. And it sort of was kind of weird that you couldn't really super do that in Skyrim.
Yeah.
It was in Oblivion and it was super breakable. And it was in Morrowind,
absolutely.
More breakable.
Yes,
and it was in Daggerfall and it was just nonsensically breakable. And it wasn't an arena, because the arena was the bones of what was going to come.
Sure.
But it's like, it's consistently in the series. So the fact that it's being added to this totally makes sense to me. Like, just seems like it should be there.
I agree. I also think that when we get, oftentimes in these games, in the series, when we get like, oh, this is a big bad guy, or this is a very powerful person who has mastered magic or whatever, they're always capable of doing things in interesting, unique ways. It's not just, oh, now I've got like the mega fireball spell that everybody can learn from the college.
Sure. Right?
It's all about, oh, based on their deep learnings, they broke reality by spellcrafting something that nobody's ever done before. Right? There's a lot of that kind of thing going on. So it makes sense that like spells aren't just recipes where you follow the letter of the recipe. They're recipes in the sense that you go, well, what if I replace this component with this other component and we'll see what happens with the spell now?
Yeah, how likely am I to explode?
Right, like, am I going to explode? Am I going to summon a bunch of imps into my kitchen?
Yeah.
Or
no,
am
scamps.
I, yeah, some scamps, like just like scamp kitchen. Or
yeah, just scamping it up.
Or am I going to come up with like a new shield that, you know, breaks down anybody's ability to pierce me with arrows, you know, like, or whatever,
right.
You know, like, it always feels like there was a crafting element to the designing of spells. And even something like how you wield your weapon is always particular to the individual. Sure, you got to learn the fundamentals of the way that you use martial arts or whatever.
But then you make it yours.
You make it yours. You go, oh, well, I do more of this kind of thing because I'm more comfortable, or I find it's more effective or whatever, right? So being able to customize that stuff makes a lot of sense.
Like I said, I'm just very curious to see how it will be introduced to us, like as a system, because there's always a way to introduce it, especially when it's new. So it's like, I'm just curious what will be the story around introducing this to us, because I think that actually could be pretty interesting, honestly.
Yeah, we'll have to see. There's a lot of stuff that, I mean, they've hinted at a lot of things. Clearly, they didn't reveal everything.
Yeah, and there's more coming, we know. Like, they only told us, you know, the first two quarters with some information. They just gave us hints as to Q3 and Q4, like they did last year, where it's just like, yep, more stuff coming. There's a housing thing. There's a PvP thing. There's a companion thing. There's more quality of life stuff. It's like, well, what do those mean? Nope, we'll tell you later. It's like,
yep. There's even a free trial right now. So if you want to
there
try
is,
out,
and ESO Plus is available as well. So even if you already have the game, you have access to literally everything except the newest chapter, because ESO Plus is just free right now. So if you don't usually play with ESO Plus, do all your surveys, jam all the stuff in the crafting bag.
And if you haven't played the game at all, just load in, pick a zone, see what looks cool, do some of the stories, see how it plays out. I think you probably will be surprised that it's actually, you know, it doesn't play exactly like Skyrim, but that's okay, because it does its own thing and it does its own thing well at this point. So it's worth checking
as somebody
out.
Going through all of the games in the series, you'd be shocked how few of them actually play that much like each other.
Right,
there's an overarching theme to how they play. But just because you played Skyrim I don't suggest that means you dive right into like Battlespire,
yeah, or even Morrowind. The
Morrowind,
the missing 10 of your swings at the rat at the beginning of the game is kind of the
Redguard, where you're just in third person and you don't create a character at all. The series is very different from game to game, and this is just the most current iteration of it. So.
Yeah. So hi to Bob. Hi to Rusticus. Rusticus says in chat, I want a skitchen. Camp kitchen.
I like
it. It's a portmanteau.
All right. Skitchens it is.
Skitchen.
Somebody copyright
skitchen.
It.
Skitchen. Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for joining. Bronzo is jumping in here. Welcome, everybody. Trevor Lee Hills popped in because he found the fall lorecast. Yeah. We happen to be at the end of the stream. We're just kind of vamping at this point, just talking about some of the stuff. But if you missed the beginning of it, go back and listen, or, you know, wait for the actual
exciting
audio
stuff.
Episode or whatever. But yeah, exciting stuff. We'll be back next week with our patrons. We got patron chat coming up. If you are one of our patrons who is going to be on the chat, feel free to share some ideas on the Discord. We'll come up with something to talk about. Maybe we'll just talk about this next year and the idea of a new Daedric Prince and how that makes everybody feel. Or, you know, you never know. But Lotus, you have other stuff you want to share before we head out?
No, if you want to hear how correct or very incorrect we were on a lot of things, we actually recorded an episode of Tales that we launched literally right before the reveal. I think it came out Tuesday because, again, since I got the sneak peek, I was like, oh, crap, I can't give any predictions if I'm actually able to see this, because this would just be a huge breach of NDA.
or strangely, how is Lotus
wow,
so
he guessed everything
accurate
with pinpoint accuracy?
Or how did he get everything so wrong in order to make sure he didn't break NDA?
just intentionally do it wrong. But yeah,
we're gonna get 12 new Daedric Princes,
yes,
everybody.
That's right. And here are their names.
They start naming off like dwarves.
Yeah, Dopey and Sleepy. So yeah, we had our predicted episode. We also have our, if you are interested in my very brief synopsis, just for the sake of it, of the episode or of the previous chapter, we have a full spoiler cast with Avron Doodles and TES Benefactor from the Imperial Library. We do our yearly collaboration where we go through the whole year of stuff. So that's really what I've been doing. Otherwise, I have just been recovering so that I feel better. And things are on the mend. So hopefully I can actually get back to doing stuff, as my surprise streams that I had planned for the break where I could finish Daggerfall didn't work when I couldn't not cough for 4 seconds.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
So hopefully I'll be able to do that and we can finish up Daggerfall soon. But I'm just very excited for all the new stuff.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you're feeling better. I was a little worried, but
no, I'm on the mend. I promise.
Yeah. And I've got a bunch of stuff I'm doing. You guys know how this goes. RobotsRadio.net for all the links. And then, of course, if you're into Fallout or Starfield or Lord of the Rings or Mass Effect, I do lorecasts about those. Plus, there's lots of other shows by the rest of the community and a bunch of people on Robots Radio who have their own podcasts about all sorts of cool stuff. So go check that stuff out. Thank you for being here. We'll be back next week. And until then, stay safe out there, because you never know how many Daedric Princes might show up. We'll see you later. Bye, everybody.
See you later.
Thanks for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach me on Twitter at robots_radio or Lotus of Doom at Lotus of Doom. Also, you can join us on the Robots Radio Discord channel. You can easily just search Robots Radio Discord on Google or check the description underneath the podcast. Also, this podcast is recorded live every week on Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on the Robots Radio channels on Twitch, YouTube, and on Facebook. So just search Robots Radio on any of those platforms. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you while we record the show, or before or after. Either way, just come hang out with us. And if you're looking for more information about my shows and the shows on the Robots Radio Network, go to robotsradio.net for all the information about all the shows on the network, including the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where I help both new and existing podcasters to grow their shows, build their audiences, and create the best podcasts they possibly can. All of that at robotsradio.net. We'll see you next time.